Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a great show headed your way, so thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Houston, the next stop on the PGA Tour. The seniors, the guys in the Champions Tour, they're kind of wrapping things up with their Schwab Cup Challenge, so it's a fun weekend for these guys at the conclusion of this season, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Our good friend Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf and owner of the Golf Ranch here in the Dallas area, will be joining us shortly to talk about, well, whatever pops into Steve's bizarre mind, but it'll be entertaining, I promise you that. And as always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How you doing today, Frank?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? All right.
I'm doing well too. Yeah. Hey, can we go back to what you said just before we went on the air about our jingle, which we have used and abused.
I thought it was something else.
About 37 years. No, not that one. About 37 years. You've got all your friends in Nashville. They're musicians. Can't we get another music bed?
Yes.
To lay underneath? Same announcer. I like the announcer guy, but can't we get Vince Gill or one of your buddies?
I was just with him the other day.
Pluck a few chords and give us some new music?
Vince is playing some good golf, by the way. We do need to. Lauren, my buddy Lauren. Have you met Lauren? I don't think so. Lauren Gold?
I don't think I've met him.
Okay. He's offered to write some stuff. And another guy So Lauren is fabulous, you know. And Dane Bryant, who you met, has offered to write some stuff. I've just not pursued it, but I will pursue it.
We only need about a minute bed, right? I mean, it's all.
Yeah, I'm tired of this. It's old. It's stale.
It is. We're all old. Speaking of old,
yeah,
tired,
really.
Stale. Steve Johnson, join us now.
Thanks, guys.
Before
I was taking a nap
on a lawnmower
there a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I had to wake you up a little
bit.
We
heard pots
and
pans.
Steve, of course, is a managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. You and Hank have been together, what, 35, 36, 7 years, something like that?
Wow, Steve? Yeah, since 1988.
Wow.
Long time, man. Wow. Long time. But it doesn't seem like that long. No, my memory's going.
Just kind of whizzed.
It's been
by.
A great run. It's been a lot of fun, and a lot of things that I would have not gotten to do, I got to do because of Hank. I owe him a lot.
Sure. And he owes you,
and you're
too.
You're doing well on your own.
You do a good job.
The Golf Ranch there in the greater Dallas area on the University of Dallas campus is a great facility. How's everything going there? You opened that about a year ago? How long ago?
It's going great. We opened it June 20th in 2020. And so we're a little over a year, about a year and a half. We had a tough winter, and it killed some of the greens on our 9-hole golf course, and I decided to be golf course, not necessarily architect, but golf course construction guy. We peeled off all the remaining sod of those greens that were kind of dead and they weren't playable. And it was too early for the Bermuda grass to plant that. So I waited for the winter grass, and I didn't realize how long it took to grow in the winter grass. We're just now getting to where we're getting about probably 80% coverage on the greens. Man, it looks good too, Tim. You got to come out. It will be this next year, 2022. We are going to launch the Tim Matthews Invitational because this course is going to be good.
Good. I can't wait to see it, Frank. Every time I've gone there, and he's got a beautiful facility that you can accommodate. I mean, I'm 100 golfers or something to hit range balls, if you will, in practice. And there's teachers and different people if you need somebody to help you. If you got that, he's got an indoor facility, TrackMan, and all that. And he's got this little par 3 course that he's talking about, which are just little wedge holes, right? They're 80 yards, 100 yards, 75 yards, whatever. And which is perfect for me and my problem with my wedges. So you get to work on all of that. But every time I go there, Frank, to just hit balls or do whatever, if Steve's there and he's not at some, you know, big board meeting with Mobil Exxon or any of the big cheeses that he works with all the time, he's always in construction boots. He looks anything but a golf professional or a teaching instructor.
Well, I'm looking like a teacher
today.
He's
always on a tractor. He's on a tractor.
I've got some kids from Kentucky that are here this week, so I'm looking like a teacher right now, Tim. You'd be proud of me.
Kids from Kentucky. Wait a minute. And what age group?
They're high school.
Oh,
high school kids. Yeah. A good friend of mine, a guy by the name of Kevin Reinhardt, is a teacher, a golf pro out there, great pro, out in the Paducah, Kentucky area.
Very familiar.
Oh, yeah. And he develops these kids. He brings them out, and recharges them a little bit, and then they go, and they, a lot of these kids are signing scholarships and playing college golf, D1, nice. D2, D3. It's great. I mean, he's really promoted the game out there.
So he will be with them when he –
He is with them, yes. He's
so
with
tell
them.
Him, pass this along to him, and don't say I said it. Just say it. Just say, oh, by the way, I'd like to become a Duke, and see what he says.
You'd like to become a Duke?
Say you. Say tell your friend. I'd say, like I, Steve, would like to become a Duke.
And what's that mean?
Well, there's an award, I think, that's given by the mayor of Paducah called a Duke of Paducah, and that's like the key to the city. Yeah, it's a cool deal. It really, a friend of mine got it. And it's a plaque and all this really cool stuff. Tell him you want to be made a Duke. See what he says.
Wow.
See if he slaps you upside the head.
I'm not setting you up, Steve. It's for real. I swear it's for real.
Yeah, I don't blame you for asking.
You brought up something, Tim, that kind of triggered a thought in my mind when you're talking about me with Hank. You know, our main goal is just taking care of the customers out here. You know, we want good conditions, good grass, friendly people and all that. And I went to a golf course yesterday, Tim. This is an epidemic, I think, almost everywhere. Where golf is, this is in a very exclusive club here in Dallas. And they allowed me to come out with some members. And we had a tee time. It's very difficult to get a tee time at this course. But we got one. And I was playing with two of the members. And it's funny, courses that are, you would think that would be really catered to the member. Once you get outside the clubhouse area, it is an absolute free-for-all out there. I mean, you don't see, at least we didn't see any of the pros. There were four pros in the pro shop when I went in to check in, very nice guys and women. But they must have a chain behind that counter because none of them ever get outside to see what's going on the golf course. It is an absolute free for all. We've got a threesome. We've got a single behind us that wants to play through. We got then a twosome behind us that wants to play through. Then two guys that hit into us and ask us to play through. I think,
really?
My gosh, it's like a war zone out here.
And what was the name of that club?
I'm not saying.
That's
I'm not saying.
I've been to a lot of clubs like that. Tim, you have too. Where you go?
I'll give you the initials, Tim, but I'm not going to say it. But I'll give you the initials. Okay. DCC.
Hang on.
Dallas Country Club. Okay.
Well, I mean, the
Darwin Deason
takes a forensic. Takes a forensic expert to figure that one out, Steve.
Would you spell forensic? Can you spell forensic?
I was really? Very surprised, and the guys were very nice to me, and you know, the members are new golfers, and we were keeping up. We played 9 holes in a little under 2 hours, which is a darn good pace. But you can't, a threesome cannot. We're on the cart pass only yesterday too, so a threesome cannot keep up with a single. A single's going to win every time. It's going to play faster. But I'm thinking, why don't they pair these people up? You know, hey, you can meet some other members. You can have a day of it. You can have some fun. And
because those exclusive clubs like that want their members want to do what they want to do, and
that's what I was about to say.
Probably.
Yeah, that may be the case.
If I want to play by myself, damn it! Look at the fees I'm paying. Blah blah blah. I'm going to play, but and then you go, okay, Mister. Yeah.
Mister Deason.
Mister right. Rothschild. Mister Rothschild. Go ahead and play.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, we're joined by Steve Johnson.
Go ahead,
Steve
I'm sorry.
Johnson, the managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm anxious to get to this. I mean, there's so much going on in the world of golf right now. I mean, the world of golf. It's craziness right now. There are people jumping off the plank. They're jumping ship. They're changing jobs.
Okay, give us some content
in,
here.
Well, let's back up to when, you know,
Greg Norman
started with LIV, the venture capital firm that was funded by another group
Saudis.
Of Saudis, okay, and they came up with the 10 additional events for the Asian Tour. Number one, solves the problem of jumping across. The Premier Golf League couldn't offer world golf ranking points. The Asian Tour can. So now that solved that issue. So it makes it a little bit easier for people to make a decision which way they want to go. They also threw $300 million into the kitty for those 10 events. Big deal. The next thing that happens, the European Tour announces that they are no longer the European Tour. They are now the DP World Tour for 2022, when the season begins, 21-22, not the European Tour, the DP World Tour. That also comes out of the Middle East. So now you have Greg Norman's group, and you still have a commissioner of the Asian Tour over there. You have the European Tour, former European Tour, now the DP World Tour. It's all feeding back into the Middle East and all the money coming out of the Middle East. And it was announced that on the DP World Tour, all of the purses would be doubled. So the old European Tour purses are gone. The new DP World Tour, bigger purses, much bigger purses, double.
And Frank, that DP Tour is out of a different pocket of money from the
different,
same
different
area
pocket
the
of money,
Saudi
but
area.
You know what? If you drill down, oil comes up in different spots, you know, around the state of Texas, right? But if you drill way down, it's all coming from the same spot. And my point is, it's coming from the deepest of pockets and filtering up through different fissures into what we now have. And has occurred. And so then the next thing that happens is, you know, Slugger White retired a while back, vice president of rules for the PGA Tour. Slugger's been a friend of ours, all of ours, forever. We've known Slugger. He's a great guy. He retires from the tour last year. Whoops. Guess what? Slugger White just signed on with Greg Norman's group, and he's going to be working with them now. And two other people have signed on with Greg Norman's group. So that were formerly associated with the tour in some form or fashion, the PGA Tour, I should say. So now that's happened. Now, the next thing that happens, announced yesterday, the PGA Tour plans to create a series of lucrative international tournaments that will offer guaranteed money to the world's best players. The tour intends to stage between 4 and 6 events annually outside of the United States in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. The series will begin in the fall of 2023 at the earliest, though possibly not until 2024. Details of the plan were confirmed by Golf Week.
Hey,
what's going on?
Tim.
Yes.
Why are we on this podcast?
I know. He had to set it all up.
I set it all up for you boys. Now, I'm going to go get some coffee and kick back and listen to y'all.
Yeah, I know. You can take a break for
talk about this because that's a lot of stuff, fellas.
The question is, Steve, so where are we headed here? Is it an arms race?
Well, I think so, Tim. I think so. All it's going to do at the end of the day, it's going to make the PGA stronger. It's going to make more jobs, which is good. It's going to be more golf. We've got the Winter Olympics is coming up in Beijing, China. So, I mean, where the money comes from, who cares where the money comes from? I mean, what's the big deal about making such a big deal about the Saudis that the money's coming from the Saudis. They sponsor LPGA events.
Here's my thought, Steve. Is it matters because it's an unending flow of oil coming out of there. So they can outspend anybody. So if it does come down to what I was suggesting, an arms race, and the PGA Tour is being funded as they are from fees and all the other things, but not a deep pocket of trillions of dollars of a family's money, if you will. Will they lose the race, and therefore will the PGA Tour change in the way we're used to looking at it now is the real question. Will it not have the big name guys? Will they go where the money is and be sucked away to different parts of the world on their own private jets to do whatever they want, but not doing what they're supposed to be doing or what we want them to be doing on the PGA Tour? That's the question. The money only matters where it comes from in the fact that it's an unending supply of money, and that might turn some people's heads. If you're DJ, if you're Spieth, if you're Justin Thomas, if you're Finau, whoever, DeChambeau, are you going to suddenly go, I don't need to necessarily do all this stuff and go to play in tournaments in Texas or Florida or California or Illinois or wherever. I'll just go around the world and I'll make five times the money I'm making now. That's the question.
It may change the complexion of the way the players are treated on the PGA Tour, the US PGA Tour, because now they have to get permission to go play in other events and all that. I think with some other options, Tim, they're going to be allowed to be actual independent contractors. Hey, they can go wherever they want. They can play whenever they want. They're all going to want to play in the majors. They may bring some other big tournaments overseas. But, I mean, in general, I think it's great for the players. I think it's great for the players. I think it's great for the spectators. I think it upsets the balance of power for the PGA Tour. They're a monopoly, Tim. The PGA Tour monopolizes the best players. They restrict them. They call them independent contractors, but they restrict them when they can play, where they can play. you know, they even have to get permission to do the Koepka versus DeChambeau deal. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Frank, I got a question for you, Frank.
Yes.
I got a question for you, Frank. As we see it, the PGA Tour being what it is, will it not make it almost impossible? And I'm just going to throw out a few different kinds of tournaments here, but let's just bring the average PGA Tour event, the Byron Nelson, the Valspar, the ones that are in between majors, in between World Golf. Is it going to make those tournaments very, very difficult? Are they almost going to become a secondary events that we see in Puerto Rico when there is a major going on, but you don't qualify, you go play in Puerto Rico or you go play in Reno? And is that going to happen to those other events that, quite honestly, aren't going to be able to afford to get the big top guys to come play?
Oh, I think there's going to be an influx of money into those events too. I think that's going to happen. Here's one more little twist. As of November the 11th, yesterday, Jay Monahan announced a strategic alliance with the European Tour, since rebranded as the DP World Tour, as they sought to unify their product against potential rivals. It is unclear what role the European circuit will play in the new overseas events staged by the PGA Tour, but it is thought that the two organizations will be aligned to not undermine Europe's season-ending race to Dubai. Here's my thoughts on all this. Basically, this is Louisiana Creole right here. It's all it is. It's just take everything and throw it all into a bowl, mix it up, cook it, and see what comes out of it. And if you like it, it needs a little more of this, a little more of that, a little more of this. Huge test. This is a huge test. Everybody's jockeying for position right now. The PGA yep. Tour is jockeying for position. He did say that if Monahan restated his May position, that if you go play for a rival tour, you're not welcome at home anymore. You can't come to the dinner table with Tom Selleck and the rest of the Blue Bloods, okay? Not on Sunday. It's over. So what are they doing? But look at it this way, and I'm a conspiracy guy anyway. You see this money coming from somewhere, we don't really know where, into the European Tour, DP World Tour now, that really is filtered from over here. This all sounds like they're just still pissed off at Greg Norman.
Maybe it is. I mean, how does all that fit? I mean, how many tours are we talking about now?
You're talking about three tours.
There's a lot of balls.
Three tours.
A lot of balls up in the air. And what was the impetus, Frank, if you could, because I don't know the same story you do, for the DP Tour being a world tour now and even taking the name European out?
Money. The European Tour was failing.
I guess they were not just Europe. Yeah.
European Tour was, I mean, it was you know, failing. So they needed an influx of money. Here it comes. It supposedly has been in the works for over 2 years. I don't know about that. You know, I don't have any inside info on that. But, you know, and Steve knows. But Steve,
why are you so much up in arms about it?
I'm not up in arms. I'm just stating there's a lot going on. And it's just, it's exciting.
Curious what's going
to
happen.
It's exciting. And I'm really curious as to what's going to happen. Who's zooming who here? Who's getting paid for what? And it sounds to me like there's a whole lot of knee-jerking going on right now. It really does.
Yeah. I think, hey, Steve, let me ask you this. Is there America, you said that the PGA Tour has been a monopoly. America has monopolized the PGA Tour, even though they've tried to expand. But the rest of the world plays against us. You've got Ryder Cup. We're in the middle of that. You've got President's Cup. We're in the middle of that. It's all about the United States, and maybe that's fair. Maybe we have the best golfers and so on. But is it also going to get to the point where suddenly majors, which three of the four are in the United States, is a Dubai Open going to be pushing to say we should be a major? Should there be a major in Singapore or somewhere else in the world to say the four majors as we know them now, LPGA Tour, for example?
I don't think those are going to change.
Might change?
Because we own those. And I mean, that's a benchmark for any player, no matter where they're coming from. If they're coming from overseas or they're coming from the United States, I mean, that's Brooks Koepka will tell you, and Tiger Woods will tell you, and Jack Nicklaus will tell you, that's how you evaluate your career, based on these major
But those are all Americans, is my point. Those are Americans. What about the rest of the world golfers?
Well, the British Open.
Roy McIlroy.
But that's all they know now.
Evaluating his career based on majors.
I got you, because there is no option. But if I'm the king of Saudi Arabia, if I'm whoever that's putting money into this, if I'm China, won't I be saying I need to not only have tournaments here, which we already see they're biting into the pie, is my point. They're biting into the PGA Tour's monopoly. won't they also say, and why, by the way, does there need to be just four? Maybe there should be six majors, and maybe one it would be in the Middle East, maybe one would be in China or something. I'm just saying this could be the beginning of a real dramatic change, and I'm talking in the next 20 years maybe, dramatic change on the PGA Tour that won't be so U.S.-centric. Maybe, maybe not, but it might be, because it sure looks like all this stuff that's happening is happening outside of the United States. Like, maybe yeah. they're tired well, of the U.S. Well, look, being the big boys on the
four,
block.
Let's look at the four majors, Tim. Let's look at the four majors. So you've got the Masters. They're not they can't be bought. You
I
have
would think that
the
would
U.S.
Be safe.
Open.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their big money maker. They can't take the U.S. Open out of the United States. Now, come on. The Open uh-huh. Championship, that's a big funder now. I mean, they've got another influx of money for the European Tour, as Frank just is informed us. But, I mean, they're trying to promote European golf. And so the only one that's left is the PGA Championship. So do you think the PGA of America can be bought? Because you're not going to just create another... You're not going to create another major. You've got to sell the rights to it. Hey, the PGA Championship this year is in Dubai. You know, I mean, that's...
Maybe. That's what I'm saying. There's
really
got to be some...
You're
and
not
I think
gonna say, they can't even make the Players' Championship a major. So,
they could if they wanted. It may become that now.
They choose not to. Yeah,
we're talking about generations.
But,
I mean, that's a generational issue. I mean, that's not going to happen in the next 10 years. I just think there's enough guys around the world
that are like the Herb Kohlers of the world. And I say that in a sense of, I've got more money than I know what to do with, and I'm going to buy my way into hosting majors. I'm going to build this, and I'm going to buy. And Herb, I think, I'm not a money expert, but probably has a fraction of the money we're talking about some of these other people having. Don't they have the same mindset? I'm going to buy my way into being a major golf player. I'm going to do what I can. It's no different. Let's be honest. It's no different than World Cup soccer. How somehow Qatar is the host of the World Cup when it's 180 degrees in the summer in Qatar. But the people with the big money said, by God, we want soccer in this part of the world. And sure enough, they got a World Cup when they shouldn't even have it. And they even moved the World Cup to the fall because it was so hot. My point is, when you have more money than you know what to do with, and you have that mindset that by God, I think somebody might say, and I want to have a major here. We can have a new
one. Well,
let
me ask you this question,
Tim. I think it could change the complex.
Do you think that that the PGA Championship was Herb Kohler's first choice, or do you think maybe he tried to buy the U.S. Open and he tried to buy the Open Championship?
Sure.
I mean, the PGA of America is the one that can be bought. That's my
I'm not even saying they got to be bought. I'm just saying they got to be competed with. I mean, they could still have it, but I'm saying somebody might say, again, why four? You know, who said that's the magic number? We can have the women expanded, right? Weren't the women four? Now they're five?
They did.
They got so many majors. They've got a lot of majors. And the thing is, the majors
But that was
changed.
Driven by money.
They change. Well, I mean, they didn't have any. That's why, Tim. They didn't have any money.
Wait a minute, guys. Let me throw one more thing out at you. One more little tidbit. Slugger's going to be reporting to a guy named Ron Cross. That name
ring
a bell?
Nobody knows who Slugger is.
Slugger
right?
White. Yeah, the people who listen to this show do, Steve. My God,
nobody
if they listen to this show, they know golf.
They know golf, they know.
Slugger White, the former vice president of rules for the PGA Tour, who's 72 years old. He's going to be reporting to Ron Cross.
So who's Ron Cross?
Well, Cross was a longtime executive at the PGA Tour whose title as senior vice president of the President's Cup and other international events was eliminated in December as part of job cuts the tour made in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic.
Dang, Frank. This is just minutia, Frank.
No, it isn't.
What relevance does this have?
A ton, because Cross's experience also includes a role with Augusta National Golf Club managing the Asia Pacific Amateur, the 12th edition, which is going to be was held last week in Dubai. So it's all tied in everywhere.
All that is if he's involved with the Asian Pacific Amateur, that means he's part of the Asian Pacific organization, and Augusta gives them one spot in the tournament. That's
yes.
all it means. It's a
I
gift.
I know.
It's a gift.
But it's still, there's electricity kind of emanating from everywhere right now, is my point. There's a lot of movement
something,
and golf in the world.
You're talking about a rules official that they're retired from the PGA Tour that nobody knows, other than the players and people like you. know him. Well, but, that he has an influence on what's going to happen in the PGA, on professional golf?
Oh, I don't think he has an influence on what's going to happen, but I think it's certainly notable that...
He's saying it's an indication,
of the movement. Things are changing.
He's not saying that Slugger's going to make decisions to change the Masters from a major. He's
but
just
what
saying
difference?
These, there's a lot of
things.
Why
are we even mentioning him? Why are we even?
Why does your voice keep getting higher? That's my question.
I like this. What's that? This is good.
Why are you getting a heart attack, Steve?
Hold on.
Why
I got to take my blood pressure medicine.
I mean, if we want to talk about,
you said you were
going to
play nice.
If we want to talk about job changes, and we want to talk about
that's not what we're talking about. You're the one who's minimizing this. No. We're not talking about job changes. We're talking about what's evolving all over the world in the world of golf and how it's going to affect the PGA Tour. Good God, man.
Gonna,
don't you understand what's going on here?
It's going to affect it in a good way for the fans. It's going to affect it
for
good
the players.
Way for television. It's going to affect it a good way for all of us.
I agree with that 100%. I agree with that 100%.
It's just there's going to be changes. We're talking about what changes are going to happen, and suddenly it's going to be a big deal.
That's what happens in the real world, guys. In the real world, changes happen. And instead of of talking about changes happening for 30 minutes that are going to be good for all of us, this is a golf show.
Ooh,
why don't we talk about golf?
Well,
we are.
I don't like golf anymore.
Well, I mean, Frank,
we're talking about the pro tours.
You got to listen to the tape. Let's all listen back to the first 30 minutes of this. And Frank comes on like it's some freaking conspiracy theory here that, so-and-so put money in here, and then he put money in here. And holy
this
cow.
This is battle of the egos, boys. It's battle of the egos.
So what's the big deal?
I love it.
It's the same in the NFL. It's the same in the NFL.
Oh, it's worse at the NFL.
It's the same in the NHL. It's the same in the NBA. It's all the same, Frank. And it's going to benefit us. So
I didn't say it wouldn't, did I?
I think you're the one who's creating the animosity here. Nobody's saying it's a bad thing.
No.
But yeah, we're here to talk about what's going on in the tour, what's changing. These are some major implications of what might be changed on the PGA Tour. It's all fine that it's good.
Yeah.
And fans might say, hey, we're loving it. We're great. But you might not see the same PGA Tour in 5 years that you're seeing now because of all these changes. Which
Here's
is what we're talking
point,
about.
Tim. Here's my point. Why do we get into
you
the minutiae?
No,
why
you
wouldn't
have
we just,
no point.
Why wouldn't we just talk about, hey, there's changes going on, and it's good?
Well, that sounds like what the Democrats do in Washington, but that's neither here nor there at this
I don't
point.
Know. We're figuring out if it's good. We haven't said it's bad, but we're figuring out if it's good. I mean, again,
let's switch gears.
You can't go watch your local tournaments. Hang on, if you can't go watch your local tournaments, if it is going to be, these guys are only going to play so much golf. There's only so many days, and if we're having tournaments all over the world, and they are going to get their World Cup points and everything else, or World Championship points for playing in these, I threw in the majors thing, but who knows what's going to happen? That's what we're trying to tell the audience here, Steve. Is so you might not go to a tournament in your local community and see the big name guys that you're used to seeing. Because they just don't have the time anymore to be playing in some of those tournaments because they got so much time off. That's what I'm saying.
The Korn Ferry Tour has fabulous players and a lot of players who can't play on the Korn Ferry Tour. Does it open up avenues for players that we've not seen or heard of yet to enter into this mix at this point that could
be
big names in the future? So it gives more at-bats is my point. It's giving more at-bats.
More players.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I think that's the positive.
That is.
It creates
very.
More jobs. Now, if you look at the official world golf rankings right now and you look at the top 10, now I know it's early. It's early in the season. A lot of guys have taken off. This is a two-year look, a two-year window. Look at the top 10 in the world. You've got all brand new, a lot of brand new names. You got a Colin Morikawa.
Yep.
You got a Patrick Cantlay. You do not have guys that are. I mean, Colin Morikawa is a great player.
No doubt.
He doesn't get even close to the notoriety that a guy that hasn't played on the PGA Tour hasn't won since 2010. Anthony Kim gets more headlines and more when he does something. He's not even playing on the tour, and he gets more attention than a guy like Colin Morikawa. I mean, it. What I'm saying is
hey,
that.
Hey, I don't think it's right, but what's your point?
My point is, more jobs means the opportunity for players around the world to excel at the sport, for this to become a world sport, and it can only help golf. It's good for U.S. golf when you've got U.S. got U.S. players at the top. But if we're looking at growing the game, and that's not our goal. I mean, that's not our charge to grow the game, but it's nice to have the game growing. The game is
I don't know what the number is now. Hang on. If the number now is 200 guys on the PGA Tour, right? Whatever our rough number is of those who have their card. Again, that's a
bogey.
Who says it has to be that number? Now, if we can expand everything, could there be 300? Could it be 250? You know, could there be more people? So yeah, more jobs. That's fine, good. But it could be more people. Ultimately, it's still going to be driven by the Tigers and the Phils and the Jordans, and that's still going to be a pool of 20 guys or something that are still going to probably drive the machine that everybody cares about. But if you go around the world, then there's a Jordan Spieth. I'm making this up, but there's probably a Jordan Spieth somewhere in the Middle East, somewhere in China, Japan, Taiwan, or whatever. You're going to be able to see that guy more than we see him now. We're kind of just chipping away at some of the Asian guys that we're seeing. Morikawa isn't Asian, but Asian descent. But we're seeing more. That's only been recent. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that a guy like T.C. Chen or
Siwoo Kim
was a guy with this. See, we're kind of oddities as far as being on the tour. You only saw a couple.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot more of that. You're going to see that. How many guys have come up from Mexico and Central America, right? We're seeing it expand, and I think that's part of what maybe this whole big picture is the world of golf is going to expand. We're going to see more John Rahms and people from Europe that are playing with the other guys. John Rahms become a superstar that came from Spain through America to play. So, yeah, I think that's what I think has made a lot of people go – let's see, and we haven't yet seen, as far as I know, any great Saudi players or players from Iran or Iraq or Jordan or some of those countries. Maybe that's coming. I don't know.
Of course.
But that's, yeah, it's a lot of different changes that I think are going to happen. And I'm not saying they're all bad at all. It's just going to be different. It might change the way that we see golf. And I think it'll happen sooner rather than later. None of these guys are patient. They don't want to do this because their grandkids are going to enjoy it. They're going to do it because they want to see the changes that are being made. Herb Keller... Kohler didn't build Whistling Straits so his grandkids could host majors. He did it so in his lifetime, in 10 years or so, he could do it. I think we're going to see a lot of changes because of all this. That's my two cents. Okay. And with that, let's take a break. I gotta go.
What do you mean you gotta go? My whole point with all that is I just wanted to lay all the facts out, what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And then now, what's going on? What are we going to do with it? What are the ramifications? And I think we've covered that. The bottom line, I think we all agree, is it's going to be good for the game. It's going to be good for the players. It's going to be good for the fans. It's going to be good for the instructors. It's going to be good for every caddies, everybody.
And I guess the negative would be if Monahan – keeps his hardline stance, right? There wasn't a negative. Everybody's saying it's fine, except for he didn't like it, as you referenced, Steve, several months ago. Oh, you do this, you're going to get penalized. Maybe that's going to have to get softened, right? So the downside might be if indeed somebody has to make choices that I can't play here and also go play Colonial, so I'm going to go play where the bigger prize is somewhere in Asia. Because in today's world, I think they can get on their jets and not worry about it. That's my point, is that might change if there is a hard line. You can't do both
There will be a hard line, you know. I mean, you can bet on that. Jay Monahan is just a mouthpiece for the sponsors. You know, you think a FedEx is going to say, yeah, hey, I want to put $50 to $60 million in your tour every year, and we've got guys playing on the tournaments, most of the tournaments that no one's ever heard of. No, they're not going to want that. Right. They're going to want the marquee players. Now, the playing field is being leveled here by all this other money, Tim. It's being leveled. So the PGA Tour can no longer bully the players to say, hey, you know what? Not only can't you got to get permission, but it's very important for you to have a presence over here, because Mr. FedEx is putting $100 million in our tour. And he doesn't want to he wants a field to be full. I mean, we had I know this was an off time event. You know, what do you call it? The round of the what do you call it this time of year? It's the wraparound season. Wraparound. That's what they call it.
Yeah, wraparound.
Well, they dropped that.
We can't even fill a field of professional golfers at a tournament 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You think the sponsors like that? So yeah. Jay Monahan's going to be a mouthpiece for the sponsors to say he's going to try to restrict the top players somehow by saying, hey, you know what, guys, we've got to take care of this. All this money that's coming in to the PGA Tour, we need some top players to play in these events. So people will come out and watch it. So people will tune in so that the sponsor feels like they're getting a value. Not like they're just, because those sponsors have other dollars. They can spend those dollars somewhere else. They don't necessarily need to spend them on the PGA Tour. So,
well, and maybe there's some of that money will come over here to be the sponsors too. Maybe we're going to see more tournaments instead of it being, as you said, FedEx or whoever, Wells Fargo, and all the other American sponsors.
How many more tournaments can this? How many more tournaments in a calendar year can the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour field? I mean, hang on, we're pretty loaded up now.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going to put them.
Well, I mean, it's not more events; it's higher sponsorship dollars. Hey, Mr. FedEx, we've got a DP Oil over here that wants to put in a lot more money. Now, they do have long-term commitments with the PGA Tour. So, I mean, we're talking – that's why I'm saying it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in the next 10 years. I mean, a lot of these sponsors, unless it's like the web.com where they said, hey, you know what? We're not going to exercise our option. We're getting out right now.
Well, so, and I'm sure that's why it's Fast and Furious in Camp Pontevedra to in the past year, 2 years, to re-sign and re-up all these sponsors. Yeah. If you roll back time just a little bit, you'll recall – somebody the PGA Tour wanted to get away from that had a tournament in Florida that Cadillac sponsored to the tune of about, what, $12 million, I think. And they went and found somebody else. And see you, Mr. Trump and Trump Doral. Gone. Mm-hmm. Gone. So are they going to strong arm Fred Smith and FedEx? I don't know about that one. That's a pretty tough one.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, I mean, they have a long-term commitment. If it ends, it'll be the sponsor that will end it. It won't be the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
You know, that's some security for the PGA Tour, having those long-term commitments. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I'm not sure how long the commitment was with the Hogan Company and what the commitment is with Korn Ferry or with Web.com you know, however many sponsors they've had, but you know, those sponsors do have opportunities to spend that money somewhere else.
And none of this has anything to do with women's golf.
No.
Nothing. No. So where does that play? Where does the Symetra Tour and the LPGA?
They probably stay at the same level that they're at, right? It's kind of, those kind of things to me, they answer themselves, because when some people want to bring up, well, there's no, if that's an equity situation,
yeah,
it is what it is. If there's not enough money, then they have fewer events or they have lesser purses or that kind of is just being dictated by, if someone wants to put more money into it and say, we want to sponsor an LPGA event and we're going to pay the winner $2 million, go ahead and do it. But if they're not doing it, then the money doesn't come out of thin air. So yeah, I think those things just kind of settle
themselves. But it's a niche, you know, market, though, Tim. You know, a lot of the sponsors, or at least some of the sponsors of the events on the LPGA, are Korean sponsors. The Korean companies, the big companies, like that venue. They're typically not stock companies or privately held companies that are typically family companies that like to sponsor those that product.
Yeah, they like the connection with the women in the LPGA Tour. Yeah, that's very true. Hey, Steve, before we let you go, I've got to come see you because I've got to play, as I was saying before, Frank and I will talk about this after the break, in the Jamaican Pro-Am. I got invited to play in Jamaica. So I'm leaving next week to play in Jamaica. And I'm hoping that when I get there, that there's a special food or something I can eat that takes away the yips.
There may be something else.
How many courses are there in Jamaica?
Yes, three.
Do you know, Tim? Three?
Oh, in the whole island?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I have any idea. We're playing three in Montego Bay area, but I don't know.
Which is nice.
Because I've gone to websites. There's a bunch of them in Jamaica, but I've never been to Jamaica. You been to Jamaica, Steve?
No, I have not. I've not. Is it pretty restrictive? Is it like the Bermuda where it was very restrictive? Have you gotten your vaccination, Tim?
I have to get vaccinated. I have to get tested before I go, but it's got to be close enough to when I travel. So, no, I haven't yet because I don't go till next week. You have to do it like 3 days
before you
travel.
Are you going the Aaron Rodgers route? Or are you going the, stick the needle in?
I'm inoculated. What was this? I'm immunized.
I'm immunized.
Which means I took some herbs and spices in the kitchen and put them all together and concocted something myself.
That's a whole other show right there, boy.
You know, I'm double vaccinated. I'm already double vaccinated, so.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get some clarification there.
But I have to get the test. I have to show a negative test before I can get on the plane, and then I have to get tested when I get there to get back to the United States. So 2 days later, I've got to get tested again.
That's right.
Before I get back on the plane. So.
Wow.
It's a little bit.
Enjoy your stay in Jamaica, Tim.
I'll send you pictures. Yeah, I know. You spent the whole time in a clinic.
I'd take some extra clothes just in case.
Yeah, in case you're stuck there for 14 days.
I'm looking here, Tim, at Jamaica, and it looks like there's about, I can see 7 courses here. Got the Runaway Bay, Ocho Rios, Montego Bay. It looks, they're all on the north side of the island, so I wonder if that's the windy side. Montego is that Bay the windy side?
I don't.
Every side's windy down there.
I'm playing Witch's Run, something like Witch's Run, something with Cinnamon Hill.
Okay, nice. See are those? You going to, you think you'll come back with an accent?
Yaman. Yaman.
I'll come back with something. I'll come back with something.
Okay.
You'll probably come back sounding like Spicoli. Hey, dude.
But I need. I'll be playing in flip flops. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. It should be fun, though. But I'll tell you all about when I get there. It's kind of out of the blue that we got invited, but that was it was very nice. And it just worked in the schedule that I could go. Frank can't go. So. We'll see how it all plays out. I might have some horror stories, literally. Yeah.
Are you gonna get your hair braided in dreadlocks?
No, I'm not yet. I'm doing all that. I'm going full Jamaican on this.
Okay.
I'm bringing my snorkel stuff. They said I had time there. I could snorkel a little bit in between because we tee off at 8 o'clock every morning, so we're done by noon. You got the afternoon, so I might go.
Golf media broadcaster eaten by shark off Montego Bay.
Some sea turtles or some great whites somewhere.
Stay away from the stingrays.
Anyway.
Oh, man. That
Steve, thanks so much for your time.
You got to tell us. Hey, it's my pleasure. And if Frank, keep Frank from talking about the minutia.
I love the minutia.
Yeah, I know you love minutia.
I love it.
they're a Korean band.
He's committed to,
I love minutia.
To talking about all his friends.
Well, I love my friends.
You haven't mentioned the guy from Pinehurst.
Hey, I haven't mentioned the guy from Dallas who didn't send me a happy birthday wish either on the 7th. A guy named Steve.
Oh, really?
I can't remember his last name. He's an instructor there. Owns a golf ranch.
Happy birthday, Frank. What number is it for you?
We're not going there.
Well, you shouldn't have brought it up then.
Yeah.
Thanks for not mentioning my birthday.
It's 67, boys. It's 67.
60. Okay, good. It's young. That's young.
It is young.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, well, thanks for having me.
And, we loved it.
I think I did behave better this time. I did get a little upset.
I don't know about that.
I had to get you riled up. That was the goal.
Get your blood pressure up again. I don't know. We'll have you on again, Steve, sometime in 2022.
Hey, wait. Before he does that, plug your golf ranch, Steve. Tell people how to get in touch with you.
Oh, you go. You know, I changed my email address. It's sjohnson@champgolf.net. Champgolf.net. I haven't told you guys because I've been barred from the show for a while. But, I'm about to sign a deal.
And you are again.
For teaching teams all over the country. So it'll be good.
Oh.
S. Johnson at Champ Golf, does that have anything to do with another company that has a form of champ in their name?
Well, no, it's not Club Champion.
Okay.
It's Champions Golf Training is what – and Hank always used to say champions are trained, not born. And so we use that as our Champions Golf Training. So that's us.
Very nice. Well, we'll talk about that next time you're on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Which is when Frank turned 70, by the way. That's when you'll be on again. So mark your calendar.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy.
Bye, bye. Take care.
See ya.
See you later. Right there. Steve Johnson.
God.
TheGolfRanch.net. TheGolfRanch.net is where if you're in the Dallas area and want to hit some balls or see if Steve's around, that's where you find that location.
God.
All right. Hey, Steve, hey, Frank, let's take a break.
And yeah.
You come back I need the scotch. Talk a little bit more, some other stuff. I need a Valium or something.
I thought he was going to come through the microphone and choke me.
I need some ganja, man.
Well, he missed the point of me laying. I'm just laying out
what's
in the bill. Okay. This is all in the bill. Now,
he had a burn his saddle about something.
Didn't he?
So
I don't know what it is.
It's something else. It's like, what's your point? I go, his point is there's a lot of things going on. That's the point. Yeah. He goes, talk golf. I go, we're talking golf. The changes that are happening in golf.
Jeez.
I wanted to reach through and just punch him.
Well, you're going to go see him today, aren't you?
Yeah, I know. I'll kick him in the shins when I see him.
Kick him in the happies for me, too, would you?
So, all right, we're
going to
take
a quick
break, and Frank and I'll be back. Frank and I'll be back to wrap things up. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we'll return right after this.
In life, we're all bound for different things. With BeachBound.com, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, or maybe bound for encountering the unexpected. Beachbound is an online travel agency with expertise in worldwide beach vacations and experiences. They're reinventing beach travel. With BeachBound.com, customers can book worldwide beach vacations that include flights, hotels, transfers, and excursions. They're a one-stop travel shop. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to end up at a poolside bar. Hey, as long as I have a great view and a cold drink in my hand, I'm as happy as I can be. With BeachBound.com, you can find your perfect beach vacation worldwide because there's a beach out there waiting for you with BeachBound.com. Visit BeachBound.com to book your next beach vacation. That's BeachBound.com. What are you bound for? Hey, it's Neil Michaels, Director of Sales for Golf Talk America. Frank and I were talking the other day about the fact that there doesn't seem to be comfortable shirts and shorts for golfers that also hike and work out. Then I found out about 10,000, and now I'm a huge fan. 10,000 makes the highest quality, best-fitting, most comfortable training shorts I've ever worn. I've personally been wearing their 7-inch interval shorts to hike and their versatile shirt for all kinds of workouts, even at the driving range. 10,000 has gear for all types of workouts, from running to hiking, lifting to boxing, however you train. And with the holidays just around the corner, 10,000 gear makes a great gift for any fitness enthusiast in your life. This Christmas, I'm buying some for my son, the gym rat, and for my stepson, the hiker. Ugh, I hope Santa didn't give away any secrets just then. 10,000 is offering listeners of Golf Talk America 15% off your purchase right now. Just go to 10,000.cc and enter the code GOLFTALK to receive 15% off your purchase. That's 10,000.cc, not .com, and enter the code GOLFTALK for a huge 15% off today.
So you're filling out that form at the doctor's office where they ask you to just check out the diseases you think you have, and one of them says erectile dysfunction, and you go, do I want to check that one? I mean, I don't want that awkward conversation with the doctor right now. I really don't. And then I don't want to go to the pharmacy and stand in line and have some young thing hand me these pills. I want something discreet. I want no in-person doctor visits. I want no awkward conversations. I want no waiting in line at a pharmacy. Just fix it for me in the comfort of my home, which we can do at BlueChew.com. You can get the first chewables with the active ingredients in Viagra and Cialis from BlueChew.com. You can get prescribed at no cost with a BlueChew.com affiliated doctor, and then they send it right to your door in discreet packaging. Here's an even better part for you. You visit BlueChew.com and you get your first order free when you use the promo code GOLFTALK. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code GOLFTALK. Just chew it and do it. BlueChew.com. Promo code GOLFTALK.
Hey, it's Neil Michaels. With the cooler weather here, it's even more important to keep properly hydrated since you don't sweat as much in cooler weather. I mix one stick of Liquid IV in some water and hydrate faster and more efficiently than drinking water alone. In fact, mixing Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates your body the same as if you were drinking 48 ounces. Who wants to drink 48 ounces of water? Liquid IV tastes great with flavors like strawberry, lemon lime, and my favorite, watermelon. Try incorporating Liquid IV in your daily routine, like first thing in the morning or before a workout. It also makes a great hangover cure. Keep that in mind with the holidays coming. Grab some Liquid IV in your choice of flavors nationwide at Walmart. Or get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code GOLFTALK at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order and start getting better hydration today at liquidiv.com. But you have to use the promo code GOLFTALK to get the 25% off. LiquidIV.com. Make your water work harder.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you. Thanks to Steve Johnson for getting our blood pressure up.
Really?
Today, what? Earlier, if you missed it. If you missed it, go back. Listen.
Did he get kicked out of bed last night or something? I mean, his wife threw him out of the house? What's the deal?
It seemed like he was in a good enough mood when we started. Then slowly he started to...
I think I just pissed him off.
Got ugly.
That actually is
interesting. I think it's going to be, and not to rehash it because I think we hit every point we needed to, but I think there are going to be some changes in the PGA Tour. And maybe it's needed. You know, maybe we have to... I mean, if you go back far enough... And it's a ways back. But remember when U.S. amateurs and British amateurs were majors, right?
Yes, that's
not
correct.
Not anymore, right? Although Nicklaus, once in a while, tries to throw his U.S. amateur because he was kind of right on the cusp of it not being decided. And I don't know who decided that, you know, that the amateur titles were no longer before there was really much of a pro tour. What did Bobby Jones win? He won
the U.S. amateur.
And British amateurs. What else were majors back then?
Well, he won the U.S. amateur, the PGA, right? Was the PGA at that point? Yeah.
Was the PGA around there? He won that?
U.S. Open.
Because he was an amateur.
And
right?
the British
he was an amateur
Open.
His whole career.
Yeah.
So the British Open and the British Amateur.
You know, we should know that. Well, why don't we not know that?
So the British Open and the British Amateur were both majors.
I don't know.
And the U.S. Open and the U.S. Amateur were both majors. I think those were the four majors. The Opens and the Amateur for both British and U.S., I think, were the only majors. There certainly wasn't a Masters. He started that. And I don't think the PGA, although he was around, which, by the way, I played at the site of the 1927 PGA Championship that Walter Hagen won, which is called Cedar Crest here in Dallas. And now it's a municipal golf course, and so you'd probably never guess that it may be hosted, but 100 years ago, literally, almost, it hosted the 1927 PGA Championship. So that was around in Bobby Jones' time. When did he retire? Like 29, 30, something like that?
Yeah.
30.
He retired at 30.
Majors.
But it was, I'm looking at it right now. And he won 5 U.S. amateurs, 4 U.S. opens, 3 British opens, and 1 British amateur. So the Grand Slam, obviously, was the U.S. amateur, the U.S. open, the British open, and the British amateur.
Right. The PGA, I think, was decided to be a major after it had already been played. As I said, it was played in 27. But I think they decided in 40 or 42 that it was a major or something. It was down the road a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it was two amateurs and two opens is what it was. So,
but I'm just saying, if I'm a big golf guy and I've got a lot of money and I've got influence or whatever, and I'm either in Korea or I'm in Dubai or something, I might want to say, hey, how do we get a major for the rest of the world? I mean, why is it all the U.S. and Britain? Nobody else has a major. And, you know, in tennis, you've got French, Australia.
Well, you got the Portugal.
U.S., Wimbledon.
The Portugal Masters.
You kind of moving around. But,
I don't know.
But, I mean, Australia is a big golf place.
Yeah.
Maybe like to have a major. So I'm just saying it'd be – and you don't want to have too many. It's not like you need 10 majors.
No.
Cheapen the whole thing. But I just kind of wonder who dictates that.
Well, the Players' Championship in position to become a major, given the fact that it would draw from the world.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean – that'll be changes. There'll be changes for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I mentioned earlier that both the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour Champions are in action today and this week. The Charles Schwab Championship is the final tournament, if you will, for the PGA Tour Champions. And Kirk Triplett, Phil Mickelson, and Jim Furyk led the way after the first round. So Phil is right there in the midst of it. We've had both Harrison Frazier and Paul Stankowski on in recent shows, both playing sparingly on the PGA Tour Champions, and they did not qualify because you have to have so many points to get into the Schwab Cup Championship. But maybe next year.
Yeah.
You talked with Harrison. He's going to, can't remember where, but he's going somewhere to qualify for Q School. And what did he say, 100 golfers for four or five spots?
Yeah, that's the right? PGA Tour Champions is just ridiculously difficult to get on.
I can't imagine thinking that I've had any chance. Even if you're a very good golfer, you know that all the rest of them are too. Yep. It would be intimidating. But good luck to him. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. And on the PGA Tour, they're playing at the Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Houston Open. That's a mouthful.
Now let me ask you this. Hewlett-Packard Houston Open. HP is a company. Is Hewlett-Packard and Enterprise, or is it Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is the name of Hewlett-Packard now? I didn't understand that.
I don't know. I don't think it's a buy if you're saying it's a two title sponsors like Enterprise.
I wouldn't think so.
Cars,
yeah.
You're saying? I wouldn't think so because I think they'd want to put rental car in there.
Probably. My understanding is, are they going to give away a Lamborghini for a hole-in-one at this tournament too? Austin Ernst?
By the way, they are playing this at Memorial.
Yes.
I started to think last year they played at Memorial. You know Memorial. You've been in Houston.
Played it a bunch, yeah.
So they're playing at Memorial.
Old days.
Moved it around a little bit.
Public course.
This used to be. Remember, I think Houston, if I was a Houston golf official person, I'd be a little bit upset because they had a great niche with the old Houston, not that long ago, Houston Open. That was a great pre
at the Woodlands.
Masters.
Yeah, at the Woodlands.
Right? You would play it right before the Masters. They set it up. Well, I don't think it was at the Woodlands. It was at Redwood.
Well, they moved it. Right? They moved it. Used to be at the Woodlands. Yeah, they moved it. Yeah.
Right, but then they moved it, and they had it almost tailor made to be a. I'm making fun of this, but poor man's Augusta. Right.
Yeah.
They kind of had the whole tree lined fairways and the tall pines and the greens. Yeah. They did everything to make it similar. They got a really good field because guys would go there as their practice round for the. And now they're different golf course, a whole different time of the year. So I don't know.
A whole different sponsor. They almost, they lost Shell.
Happened. Yeah. Yeah,
and
down there, they got a pretty good field. They got some good golfers down there playing it in Houston. So just again, the first round.
It's always been a fun tournament.
We'll get back. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well,
party. It's always been a party. Yeah.
To party too much. Yeah. Yeah. I think I think they do a great job with all the. I'm biased, but from Colonial to Byron Nelson to even the WGC in Austin at Austin.
That's what a gorgeous country club that is. Whew.
And TPC San Antonio to do the same the five stops on the PGA Tour here in Texas.
Yeah.
They all have their kind of uniqueness about them, but they have a lot of fun, too. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
They got the margarita machine going.
When they moved away from Las Colinas, it broke my heart,
Yeah.
In Dallas. I mean, that
was... We got Las Colinas back now.
Yes, you do.
Because remember, we talked to... That's the Club Corp.
Yep. It is.
New tournament on the PGA Tour Champions will be at Las Colinas Country Club.
And we need to be broadcasting live at that one for sure. Champions. So
yeah, we should be there. Yeah. All right, since it's our big sponsor, Club
yes,
Corp.
It is.
We love Club Corp.
Corp.
And you need to check them out, clubcorp.com, to find out more about Las Colinas Country Club or any course all over the country that you can be a member of. But yeah, it's a brand new tournament that they're doing, and they're doing a unique format. If you remember, and this is again a PGA Tour Champions event, so it's tailor made for this because talking with Paul and Harrison, those guys, they have a good time, right? The guys in the PGA Tour Champions enjoy themselves and relax and actually eat with each other, not their marketing team, when they're at the tournaments. And the format of the tournament coming up at Club Corp is going to be a bit of a pro-am, too. And I don't think they're calling it a pro-am, although maybe they are. But they're going to have the pros, but also playing there will be Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and celebrities and Tim Brown and Hall of Fame football, basketball players. So they're going to make it into a celebrity event along with the PGA Tour champion regular guys playing on as well. So it's going to be a unique format.
It's going to be a lot like the Diamond Resorts LPGA event
that
they did. Yeah. That
we should be there, is your point, and we should be there.
Yeah, we should be there for sure. And we'll
where the shows.
They are, our presenting sponsor. Although, we're at every French Lick event. I mean, and French Lick is a huge sponsor of ours, our platinum sponsor.
Love French Lick.
So we'll be here. French Lick, by the way, we'll talk more about it, but just as a sidebar, Laura Estedes is now the head golf professional, former LPGA champion and senior LPGA champion, is the head golf professional at the Donald Ross course at French Lick. First time a woman's ever been in that position, and that's really cool for them up there. So congratulations to Dave Marner and his team.
And that when we played there a few months back, and we played there in the Pete Dye course, two different courses we played for the Symetra Tour event there. The club, the pro shop, if you will, at the Donald Ross course, I bought a... William Murray golf shirt.
Yes.
Which I wasn't familiar with. But then as the guy in the pro shop there told me about it, well, it's Bill Murray, the comedian.
Yeah.
But he calls it William Murray. And it is like one of the most comfortable, nicest. They're not cheap, but they weren't crazy. It's like $100 maybe.
It's nice.
One of the nicest golf shirts I've ever had. I don't know what materials they use or whatever, but it's like silk. I mean, it's such a nice golf
shirt. They're nice. They really are.
Yeah, I remember that at the Donald Ross course.
Those pro shops, too, the Ross course and the Dock course. Aren't those pro shops nice?
Oh, yeah. Well, the one at the Donald Ross, I maybe it's the original. I don't know, because that course goes back to what, like 1917, like that, right? Yeah. The Pete Dye is much more recent, but it's around an old mansion that's been there for 100 years.
Yeah.
And the pro shop is part of that mansion, if you will. And it sits up high in this bluff, so the views, I mean, they're incredible. On the top of this hill, the pro shop. You look out the windows, and I think you can see the Idaho. I mean, it's beautiful.
It's really nice.
Facility there. Yeah, it's a really, really cool place. By the way, before we go, again, want to mention I'm heading to the Jamaican Pro-Am. Thanks so much for everybody helping us put this together. And we'll talk more about it when I'm there and when we get back for playing in the Jamaican Pro-Am. But it's just, I've said that to people that I'm going, and they all automatically go, oh, Pro, oh my God, so you're going to play with Brooks and Bryson and Jordan. I go,
so, yeah,
unless it's Jordan. That's right. Not unless it's Jordan Fitzhugh,
Stiglowski,
club pro somewhere. Yeah, because this is club pros, not PJ Tour pros. So, yeah, but still, we'll have a lot of fun, play with some amateurs and some media people will be there. So I look forward to it, and we'll talk more about the courses I'm playing and staying at the Iberostar.
Yes, oh, it's a gorgeous resort, man.
There
it's,
in Montego Bay, so I'm looking forward to it.
Montego Bay is also gorgeous. You're going to love it. You've never been, so you're going to love it.
I've never been there. Yeah. I've been there. So
be careful snorkeling. I mean, you really got to watch yourself.
Yes, so. Yes, I do. I do love to snorkel. I don't scuba, but I love to snorkel, and because I figure if something comes, I can just get on top of the water and run across it, as opposed to being down 50 feet. Mm-hmm. But I do remember one time I was in the Bahamas. I'm snorkeling, and it's just to your point of
barracuda.
It's their world, right? Meaning the sea life. It's their world, not yours. And so I'm just up there, and I'm floating on the top of the water, right, breathing, doing my thing. And it's cool and nice. Oh, you're looking at a little colorful fish. And all. Before I know it, seriously, and I'm in 25 feet of water, and it's crystal clear. It's beautiful. Before I know it, I look to my left, and no more than 25 yards away is a manta ray, the big ones. Not the stingrays. The ones that the wingspan is like 15 feet.
Yeah.
It is 25 feet. And I'm like, where did that come? Because I'm looking around the whole time because I'm trying to be cautious. I don't want a shark to sneak up on me and tap me on the shoulder. So I'm looking around. I don't know where it came from, but out of nowhere is this. And so he kind of tilts, right? And they're intimidating looking, although I don't think they ever attack humans, but they're scary looking. He kind of tilts towards me as if to almost like eyeball me. Like he's got to tilt so he can kind of see me. I am frozen. I'm just like sitting there going, hey, big guy, how's it going? How's it? And he just looks the other way and takes like two big like wingspan, just goes, and he is gone. Seriously, Frank, as quick as he got there, he was out of sight in like 12 seconds. I'm like, wow, that's how fast
he was sizing you
I
up.
Could get eaten.
Hey, how did all these people get in my room?
Yes, he was.
Right?
Yeah, what are they doing here? Yeah, are you a threat to me? And I'm like, no.
No. So, anyway, I brought you Christmas presents.
You got to keep
take my big toe.
Got to keep your head on a swivel, as the football coaches like to say. So, I'll be.
Yeah, so anyway, I know we've got to go.
Anyway,
all I have to say is, Tennessee Titans. That's all I'm going to say.
Not too bad, Frank. Too bad. Your Titans and my Cowboys could be facing each other. You never know.
Could be. They're
both having pretty good seasons.
Yep.
I mean, but even losing Henry.
I know. Could you believe that?
You know, Adrian Peterson, who was 47 years old.
36.
Didn't miss a beat.
No. Right? When he started running like he used to, you know, running with the shoulders up, that's not Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson always put his shoulders down and just bowled ahead. So, yeah. And he did. And he had a touchdown in the game. And you got to give it to Vrabel. Yeah. Vrabel's one heck of a head coach. He really is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. If something ever went sideways in Tennessee, I think every team would be wanting that guy.
Oh, don't you think?
He's off the Belichick tree to begin with, but he's also proven, as opposed to some other former coaches that don't always pan out, I mean former players, he's turned out to be a pretty good coach. And I think what people really like about him is he's kind of old school, right? He's a meat and potato kind of coach.
Yep.
He likes a tough defense. He likes a running game. He doesn't put up a lot of crap. You don't hear a lot of issues with Tennessee. I mean, he seems to keep that ship almost Belichickian, if you will.
Well, the players really respect him. He had a great playing career, and He's a first-class guy, and the players respect him. We need to get him on the show after the season's over. He'll come on.
So that'd be great.
We've had Jeff Fisher on several times over the years.
He might be busy right now.
So I think he's probably a little predisposed right now with the effort.
You got some free time?
Yeah. Oh, game's here. We're playing the Saints here on Sunday, so I'll probably go to that. Yep. It's going to be chilly, but I'll go. So what the heck. Anyway, it's been fun. It was fun really pissing off Steve Johnson. Had a good time with that one.
Yeah, we have to do that again soon. Do it again in a few more weeks.
Take
our blood pressure medicine beforehand. You know?
I'm just going to do a shot of tequila.
Everybody, thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. Again, check out ClubCorp, clubcorp.com to find a course near you. And also French Lick, the French Lick Resort, French Lick, Indiana. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place to go play golf by yourself or take some friends. You'll really enjoy it in French Lick at the resort. Again, for Steve Johnson and Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you so much for being with us, and join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.